It's overwhelming, the love that you all collectively and individually have poured into my family and into, this is weird, it's harder than announcements. Yeah, you poured in so much love that, and remembering it over the last day or two, it's been overwhelming this morning to think about the many different stories. What Jesus did in my life through Fairhaven's ministry to missionary children is really, to me, as a missionary child, it's a set of stories of the love that Jesus poured into you and that you poured into our family. Corporately, whether or not like you pay attention to the missionaries or, you know, and I know a lot of you do, but say you forget, even when you're not paying attention, Kevin Cooper mentioned something at our annual meeting about, I think it's 50% of our church budget. The general goal is for 50% to go to overseas workers. What that means is that you guys did the lion's share of supporting my family financially. What I didn't realize until I was in about 10th grade and made a bunch of friends with a bunch of other missionary kids, and I realized that my life, even though Shannon mentioned like 3 or 4 different places, was incredibly stable. Because when we came back to the United States, we didn't have to spend 6 months going to 16 different churches with people that we didn't know. We got to come here, spend most of our time here. We got to go to our grandparents' churches, maybe like 1 or 2 other assemblies if my dad was invited to preach. But for the most part, we came back here. And we got to know you guys kind of in spurts and jumps. Just wanted to start with, as kind of a corporate thing that we don't necessarily talk about or think about a lot, that money that you give out of love for the Lord Jesus translates into love for kids like me and my siblings and other families, that a gift that I didn't even know I had until I realized what it could have been. When we came back, speaking of the furloughs, when we came back, you guys showed hospitality to us. We got invited to a lot of y'all's houses and a lot of different families of you that were closer to my parents and had kids in our age range, the Williams, the Dinatellis. I remember coming back and it's like, wait, we're going to go see, like, Luke and Titus. And I know them. Okay, great. We're going to go play at the park. And then we get out of the car, and we're kind of looking at each other. Because it's been 2 years since we saw each other, right? And little boys don't stay the same 2 years to 2 years, right? So there's this little awkwardness. And then you start playing, because that's what you do. And then, you know, by the time we'd leave for Central America again, we knew each other's faces, and we were friends. And we'd go back, and then we'd come back again. And, oh, yeah, they're going to look different. Okay, but they're still them. Great. And so forth and so on, and the love that you showed that way. One fun story of something that I think Jeff Matthew was behind this, and I don't know who all else, but you, from our perspective, it was a gift from Fairhaven. We were coming back for furloughs, and our furloughs were around Christmas time, and I said, we were asked by our parents, like, hey, like, Fairhaven wants to, like, give you some Christmas gifts, what do you guys want? And we're like, well, I don't know, like, but one of the things that was always fun about the United States was the different types of candy they had. And so we said, well, like, we like Butterfingers, and, you know, we listed off some of the American candies that you couldn't get down there. And then lo and behold, like, so then Christmas Day comes, and under our tree there's these boxes from Fairhaven. And, you know, I think when we asked for candy, we were thinking a couple candy bars. Well, we didn't know about Costco. We had a similar store down in the Capitol, but that was for groceries. And so we opened up boxes of like 24 Butterfingers, one box per kid. The fact that we all still have teeth is also the grace of God. But, you know, it's funny, but you guys loved us that way, and I remember that. And it was like not just a few candy bars, which would have been great, but overflowing. And you know, that's the way that God's love overflows. Like, you don't even need candy. And he's like, let me give you 24. the hospitality of you as a whole, friendship as a family. I want to talk a little bit just other stories of the way that Jesus' love poured out through you to us. People that came to visit us. Priscilla Friedlander came to visit, and I was probably like 8 or 9, and she helped us memorize verses, and she gave us a prize, and I didn't want to memorize like a standard verse. So I went to, I think it was Kings, and I found the verse where there's poison in the soup and people are dying, and they like tell Elijah, "Elijah, there's death in the pot." You know, but it got us in the word, and I still remember, you know, there's death in the pot. And Priscilla cracked up. When I told her the verse I wanted to memorize, she cracked up. She's like, "What on earth? Sure, it's a verse. You can do it." Teresa Walker visited us, and I got to go on a morning walk with her. She saw a dead monkey in the river, which I didn't even see, and we didn't even see monkeys most of the time. I've seen more monkeys in zoos, but while she was there, she saw a monkey in the river, and we still talk about that story. Bobby came and visited us, Bobby and John Rhodes, and the thing that stood out to me was I sold him a candle. I made candles and I sold them, and he paid me twice as much as that candle cost, twice as much as I'd asked him for. And the funny thing is, like, I think it was $1. And I was charging 50 cents, because in 50 cents, that's 10 cordobas. That's 10 cordobas when you're 9 years old. Like, that's a lot of money. And he gave me twice. And you might laugh because it was only $1 for Bobby, but I walked away. Like, I remember thinking, that is a generous man. I want to be like him when I grow up. And so you don't know how God is going to use these things. And then when we returned, when I returned for college, you guys poured out more and more love. And as Teresa just said, we could talk all day, and I'm running out of time. Kevin Cooper also played a huge part in the furloughs, in the visiting, and in my return. When I went to college, we would call at least once a week, especially the first 2 years. He's like, "I just want to make sure that you're going to do okay." And he took it on himself, and he has lots of things to do, and he scheduled it in. And I had somebody to talk to, somebody to ask questions, but turns out I had a hernia that I needed a surgery for that I didn't even know about. And talking to Kevin Cooper about some stuff, it came out, and he helped me, like, all right, let's get that taken care of. I'm grateful, Kevin and Jen, for letting another strange boy come through your house of the many. And finally, as I'm over time, corporately again, you guys prayed. And you guys prayed for things that I didn't know as a kid to ask for, but my parents probably said, "Hey, pray for," I imagine, I don't know, but I imagine they said, "Pray for the kids to have friends and to have a family." And we had a church family that was so close. My mom had concerns about our education because she was homeschooling us in Nicaragua, not sure how that's going to fly with college in the U.S., and the Lord worked it out through the school in Kazakhstan, where we ended up with gold-plated transcripts to send to any college in the United States, no problem. And so God's the one who works all that out. God works the dollar in Bobby's hand into a story of generosity for me. God's the one who works all these things out for his purposes. And so missionary kids come back, and they go in all different directions, just like the kids that grow up here go in all different directions. Don't stop loving. Don't stop praying, because God is the one who works.